Welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing a series of messages in the book of Hebrews. This sermon is titled, Walking in the Old Paths, and is based on Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
We'll be in Hebrews chapter 13 tonight, but we'll begin our scripture reading in a familiar place in chapter 12 and verse 28. And tonight we'll be looking at verses 7, 8, and 9 of Hebrews chapter 13. We have seen what God calls us to in terms of our vertical relationship in light of His amazing gift of an unshakable kingdom in His unshakable Son, that He calls us to seek grace that we might be those who serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And we have also seen the horizontal commands which He gives to us in terms of serving Him by serving one another, as brotherly love must continue. And so we read starting in verse 28 of chapter 12, and we'll read to chapter 13 and verse 9. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Having heard the word of God, what is your response?
Amen.
Amen. Dear people of God, you are familiar with a new generation which arises. Some of you have lived long enough where you could perhaps think about more than one new generation coming to the fore, coming to rise up and to indeed learn what it means to live their lives. But a new generation arises, and very often with new generations, there are new fads, there are new styles, there are things such as new technology, and there is often the mantra, out with the old and in with the new. There are new learning theories, new music, new entertainments. And you know, when we think about the realm of religion, it's not really any different. If we were to look over the past centuries as the generations have arisen, it is sadly the case that very often with a new generation, there is the attempt to, as it were, say, out with the old and in with the new when it comes to religion. The old somehow is seen as bad. The new is seen as good just because it is new. The old is seen as outdated, stodgy, old-fashioned, worn out, and even obsolete. But when we come to God's Word and when we come to the God of the Word, we recognize that He is the one who does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. And therefore, there is no old and new with our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and His Word does not grow outdated. And tonight, as we come to verses 7, 8, and 9 of Hebrews chapter 13, we see that God has a desire for us. He desires you and me to stay in the old and proven pathway, the one which He has established. And it is through these verses, verses 7, 8, and 9, that the Lord preserves His people in the old and proven path. How does He do so? Well, first of all, by calling us to hold fast to the established ways. Secondly, by calling us to embrace the pivotal point. And thirdly, by calling us to beware of any contrary teachings. The Lord wants to preserve you. And that's why He speaks to you tonight. That's why He has gathered you tonight. He wants to preserve you in the old and proven pathway. First of all, by calling you to hold fast to the established ways. We read in verse 7, Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. If you are going to hold fast to the established ways, then you need to remember your faithful leaders. That's what verse 7 would tell to you. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Who are these leaders, these rulers, which God makes reference to here in verse 7? Well, they are former leaders of the congregation who is being addressed. They're former leaders. How do we know that they are former leaders? Well, the first hint is that if you drop your eyes down to verse 17, you'll see that there are different instructions for their present leaders. It's in verse 17 that God gives us instruction with regard to our present leaders. That's the first clue that the apostle here is speaking about former leaders. The second clue is that as you read verse 7, you'll note that it speaks in the past tense. Those who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. These are ones who have already passed from the scene. They were ones who in former times spoke to you God's word, but they now have finished running their race. And it seems to be that these are ones who have left the playing field. These are ones who have died and have received their reward. And here God tells us that if we are going to hold fast to the established ways, we need to remember those faithful leaders, those foundational leaders who are used of God to establish the church in the faith, to establish you and me in the faith. We might ask, what makes them worthy of remembrance? What makes them worthy of you actually remembering them? Well, what makes them worthy of remembrance is that they were the ones who spoke the word of God to you. They were the ones who spoke the pure, unadulterated word to you. This, in fact, was their plumb line and their ruler. Everything was measured by God's word, and they spoke that word to you so that your faith would not be founded upon the wisdom of man, but upon the only rock which does not change, even Jesus Christ. How is it then that you and I are to remember those who have spoken the word of God to us in times past? Well, we remember them by thanking God for their ministry. We remember them by thanking God through prayer. We don't pray for them. They don't need our prayers any longer. They are in glory and they are with the Lord. But we still thank God for those who spoke the word of God to us. We remember them by continuing to speak well of them as they were instruments in Christ's hand to speak His word to us. But we especially remember them as we treasure up in our hearts their faithful instruction. As we treasure up in our hearts their faithful instruction in the Word of God. As we call to mind their counsels, their warnings, and their encouragements from the Word of God, and we call them to mind so that we would indeed walk in the Word of God in obedience. As we gratefully meditate upon their efforts to establish us in the faith. And so, we might say in one sense, there's a unique first century application to the Church of the Hebrews, that there were ones who had established that congregation, that first generation of apostolic ministry had established that congregation of Hebrews, but there is by extension an application to you and to me, that we would remember faithful leaders in our lives who have now passed on. Even here, we think of the rich heritage of First Church of Merrimack. We think of faithful leaders who have passed on, faithful leaders who spoke the Word of God. Are we grateful for them? Are we remembering their labors, their labor of love to speak to us the Word of God? We think of Reverend Jacob Burnap. We think of in the 1960s of Reverend Francis Huber. We think, I think especially this week, of Reverend Bruce Gordon as his bride just went to be with the Lord on Tuesday night. We think of Pastor Alan Tomlinson, Pastor Stephen Mulford, Pastor Stephen Michaud. We remember these ones who have spoke the Word of God to us, and we thank God for them. We thank God for the instruments which He has been pleased to use in our lives. But we don't only hold fast to the established ways by remembering our faithful leaders. We hold fast to the established ways by imitating their faith, right? By imitating their faith. Remember those who have rule over you, who have spoken the Word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. It's not enough to just remember what they said, but we must also focus upon their lives, how they lived by faith, how they walked by faith. It's the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 who says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." And the word which is used here in the Greek language is the word whereby we get in our English language, mimic. Mimic them. Mimic their faith. Follow their faith. Be ones who are like mimickers, not to scorn them, but actually to follow them. We're obviously not to follow them in their sins or their eccentricities, but we're to follow them in their conformity to Jesus Christ. But we will only be able to do that as we study their lives. It's been a great blessing to the church over the last year and a half to think again over the 250 years of God's faithfulness, the First Church of Merrimack. There's been a lot of effort and time put into actually reviewing that history. And I know that there is still work in progress putting together a final book, which is going to be available for any in the congregation to acquire, whereby we can read and study the lives of people like Jacob Burnap, and can understand how God used this one in his example of faithfully following Jesus to be an example still to us. We're to consider their lives, consider the outcome of their conduct, to carefully consider, to examine carefully, to look at it again and again. That's what the word in the original language means here, considering the outcome of their conduct. It means to look at, to behold it again and again and again and again. They conducted themselves in a certain way, and what was the outcome? They stood fast against error and opposition and apostasy, and what was the outcome? They stood faithful to the Word of God and proclaimed that there is no salvation except in Jesus Christ, that He is our only hope, that He is our all in all. And what was the outcome? They labored in tears and in joy to seek to proclaim Jesus Christ to the flock. And what was the outcome? The outcome is that they entered glory. They receive the promises. They've arrived safely in the arms of Christ. They have made that final turn. They've gone down the home stretch, and they are home, waiting only for the resurrection of their bodies. Consider that outcome and follow their faith. That's what God would say, that as God would be the one to preserve you in the old and proven path, this is what needs to take place if that is going to happen, that you would hold fast to the established ways. This is the old and proven path, taught and lived out by those who have gone before us. This is what needs to be held onto. Maybe a point of application before we move to our second main point tonight. We can think about these public leaders as a congregation of First Church of Merrimack, but maybe an assignment for you this evening or tomorrow or some point this week would be to get out a piece of paper and to write down on that piece of paper the names of those people whom God has used in your life to speak His Word. To write them down. Now, some of you are young and there aren't too many names on that list, perhaps. Some of you are a little bit older and that list might be quite long in terms of the blessing which God has provided for you in providing you leaders, either formal leaders in the church in terms of pastors, elders, deacons, or leaders as examples in walking the Christian faith out before you. Maybe not formally as a pastor, but who are those people? Would it do your soul good to remember them this week? Some of them may still be alive, but they're no longer maybe here in Merrimack. And maybe you haven't had contact with them for many years. And maybe if you know how to contact them, it would be an opportunity to send them a note and to thank God for them in that note. I thought as I prepared for this sermon of people whom God has used in my life to speak His Word. There was a man named John. I can't even remember his last name. Greg Kreiser, Mark Kreiser, Bob Guyman, Todd Elzinga, Stan Durham, Scott Kramer, Bob Schmitz, Hans Ferlinde, Terry Ferlinde, Greg Thurston, Gene Eng, Al Laurentiis, David Andrusha Musman, Lee Broderick, Arch Van Devender, Tim Hudson, David Fonts, Dave and Wendy Osteen, Alan Lutz, Joe and Hermie Hall, Pat Vitkus, Joel Johnson, Al Neavy, Pete and Myra Schumacher, Rick and Barb Schumacher, Dean Moore, David Terpstra, Roy and Sue Marriott, Kevin Kessler, Elise and Jan Vanderjot, Thelma Peters, Jack Vandenberg, Mike Leidy, and Dave Shook. These are the names which God brought to my mind. These are special people. It was through their faithfulness that I came to know Jesus. It was through their faithfulness that I came to know what it means to follow Jesus as they in both word and deed lived that out before me. And I'm sure there are others that I could add to that list, but the Lord preserves you in the old and proven path by calling you to hold fast to the established ways as you remember your faithful leaders and follow their faith, considering the outcome, arriving safely home. But secondly, the Lord preserves His people on the old and proven path by calling us to embrace the pivotal point of verse 8. Indeed, verse 7 prepares us for verse 8. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How does verse 8 relate to verse 7? Remember those who spoke the word of God to you in times past. Consider their faith, mimic their faith, follow their faith, consider the outcome of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what's the connection? Well, the connection, first of all, is that Jesus Christ is the content of all of the true teaching of God's Word. Yesterday, today, and forever. And those who spoke the Word of God to me spoke of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the focus of all true teaching of God's Word. Jesus Christ is the object of all true faith. Jesus Christ is the goal of all true faith. Yesterday, today, and forever. The established way, the old and proven pathway, is none other than Christ. That was true yesterday, that's true today, that's true forever. Jesus Christ is the pathway, and He is the prize. That was true yesterday, that's true today, and that's true forever. And this will never change. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the only hope, the only way. As the whole book of Hebrews points out, nothing and no one else will do. He is the eternal high priest who stands for us and in our place. He is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He is the singular, gracious provision of Almighty God, and He must be taught, He must be followed, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm reminded of the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You receive Jesus Christ the Lord, times past. Today, walk in Him. You've not graduated onto something else. He is not only the entry point, He is the sustaining one, and He is the end point. Don't think that there's anything else to graduate on to. You know, we go through school and we can't wait to be done so that we can graduate and get on to something else. That is not the case with Jesus. And don't let anyone tell you differently. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the pivotal point. Your faithful leaders in times past understood this, and you must understand it today, and indeed, you must go on proclaiming it to the next generation and the next generation even forever. And so God calls us to embrace this pivotal point. This is why we can give Him thanks for faithful teachers which have gone before us and who have indeed walked in faith in Jesus. Christ is the pivotal point. He is the hinge upon which all swings. Think with me of a door. Think with me of this door right here. Now, let's take the closer off for a moment, right? In your mind's eye, there's a little closer on the top there, which allows that door to close automatically. Let's just, in our mind's eye, we're going to remove that closer, okay? And then we're going to take the hinges off, okay? But the door is still there, and you're going to go up to that door after service, and you're going to open that door, and what's going to happen? It's going to fall off. It's going to fall on the floor, and that little 18-month-old child, which is right behind it, is going to get smashed by it, right? Terrible, terrible fall. You see, if you remove the hinge, the door is not an entry to life. It becomes a destructive weapon to smash somebody. If you remove the hinge upon which all swings, Jesus Christ, your religion becomes nothing but a weapon to destroy yourself and others. And God wants you and me to call to memory and to remind ourselves that we must constantly be embracing Jesus Christ as the pivotal point, as the hinge upon which all true religion swings. And as then you hold fast to the established ways by looking back to those faithful teachers and imitating their faith. As you embrace this pivotal point of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, God will preserve you on the old and proven pathway. God will preserve you. And so in essence, God says, don't be carried about, carried away, led astray by anything else. And this prepares us then for verse 9 and for our last point. As the Lord preserves his people in the old and proven pathway, thirdly, by calling us to beware. To beware, to be on guard against any contrary teachings. And we see this in verse number 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Note what has happened here, right? Verse 7, remember those who spoke the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering their outcome. Jesus Christ is the hinge upon which all true religion swings. But now there are some people who are trying to distract you. That's what's going on. There are some who are bringing in various and strange doctrines, various and strange teachings, things which are out of accord with Christ as the center, putting something else in the center besides Jesus. Sometimes it's very obvious. Sometimes it's very obvious, like in Psalm 115, which we sang today. We get out the chainsaw, right? We carve out an idol and we put it right at the front of the church and we all bow down to it. Sometimes it's very obvious. But not very often. Usually it's much more subtle than that. Where Christ gets displaced from being the hinge upon which everything swings. It's very subtle. It doesn't happen all at once. It creeps in and it displaces Jesus Christ from his throne in a very subtle way so that something else is exalted in his place or something else is exalted alongside of him as equally necessary to Christ. And we have to beware that we be not carried away, that we be not carried away with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now we read verse 9 and we recognize that some of the various and strange teachings which were infiltrating this Hebrew church had to do with seeking to reestablish certain ceremonial clean and unclean laws as necessary, as important, as just as important as Jesus. And in fact, it would be a lot easier to abide by those clean and unclean laws so that we wouldn't have to suffer so much persecution from our unbelieving relatives who have rejected Jesus as Messiah. And you say, well, I'm not sure if we face that same temptation of people coming in and trying to establish, to reestablish the clean and unclean food laws alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it doesn't have to appear in that form, does it? It can be anything that we put at the center which should not be there. That we put alongside of Jesus. Novelties were being introduced. If you really want to be established and grow and to flourish as a follower of Jesus, just do these three things. And very subtly, Jesus can be displaced. One commentator put it this way, most novelties which are introduced are introductions of old heresies. That's why we should know history. That's why we should study our Bibles. That's why we should study and know where ones have gone astray in the past. But you know, it's interesting. You can imagine a church which begins to preach non-GMO foods, right? And becomes more known for eating non-GMO foods than for preaching Jesus. You can imagine a church which preaches, we eat organic around here. In fact, do you know our Lord's Supper bread is made from organic wheat? Right? And we laugh. But it's not that far-fetched. You know, the way that we educate our children in terms of this specific homeschool curriculum is what makes us stand out from every other church. So, but we should be zealous about how we educate our children. Yes, we should. But we have to be careful that we don't put that right alongside of Jesus and that be an idol. And that Jesus gets displaced from his throne. We kind of snicker when we think about our fundamentalist brethren who say, well, women should only wear skirts. And yet, it's these sorts of things which can very subtly displace Jesus from the center. And are there Reformed shibboleths that fall into this category? Are we known by certain things or certain personalities, perhaps? Maybe we're known by the Westminster standards. Now, I think you understand that I have a great appreciation for the Westminster Confession of Faith, the shorter and larger catechisms. I do. But if I'm known more for my adherence to the Westminster standards than my adherence to Jesus, there's a problem. There's a problem. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we're not known by, well, I follow R.C. Sproul, well, I follow Alistair Begg, well, I follow Matthew Judd, well, I follow John MacArthur, or I'm a two-kingdom guy, or I believe in republicanism, or federal vision, or this, that, or the other. Where's Jesus? And see, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, should we be aware of movements within the church? Of course we should. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful of so identifying with certain things that we subtly displace Jesus from the center. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. You see why Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? It's all of grace. We're established in grace, we're confirmed by grace, we're persevered by grace, and we will arrive home by grace. And if we are going to put anything else in the place of grace, we won't arrive safely home. And that's why we have to be zealous to maintain Jesus at center stage, that the heart, your heart, would be established by grace foundationally, and that it would be continuously confirmed by grace. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 14 said, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The apostle says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, "But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse." And what other things do we need to put instead of eating and drinking and food that are subtly being raised to a place of prominence and threatening the position of Jesus? Grace establishes us. Grace confirms us. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus." Ah, what a great, great statement, right? Sometimes we're afraid to commend people in the church. We're afraid to say anything too positive, lest they get proud or puffed up. But I love how the Apostle Paul does it. He doesn't say, I thank you for being you. I thank you for rejecting two kingdom and for you holding on to republicanism. He says, I thank God. I thank God. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Same word, established. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. By grace. By grace. God's free, eternal, sovereign showing of favor to those who deserve the exact opposite. Grace confirms us in the old and proven path. Grace assures us of a glorious outcome. Grace preserves us along the pathway. Grace brings us home because grace is found in a person. In the person of Jesus. And no wonder, as we come to the closing chapter of the book of Hebrews, that there is this emphasis on the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. There's Moses. There's Elijah. They're both there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what does the Father say? This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Moses and Elijah give way to Jesus because they testified of Him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the temptation might be to look for novelties, to think that somehow the new is better and the old is stodgy and to be rejected. But God tonight tells us, no, the old and proven pathway is the only pathway. And it doesn't change. We have a relevant gospel, which is relevant as much in August of 2022 as it was relevant in AD 65. And here, we must not think out with the old and in with the new. We must be preserved in the old and proven pathway of Jesus Christ, fulfilling all as our great prophet, priest, and king. And so tonight, I've already given you one assignment. Write down on a piece of paper the names of those whom the Lord has used to point you to Jesus. Praise God for what He has done. But write down on that same piece of paper, at the bottom in the largest font possible, Jesus Christ. Because it's He who has spoken to you, that you might hear His voice, and though you were dead, be raised to life. It's not enough that you've heard the voice of all these others. You've heard the voice of Jesus, who has spoken to you the life-giving word. Amen. Let us pray. We thank You, gracious Lord, that You never change. We thank You that You are the fulfillment of all of God's promises, that all of God's promises are yea and amen in You. And we tonight would again be aligned to look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. We praise You for Your great and gracious love. You remind us that the heart must be established by grace, You remind us that if we are to serve you in a well-pleasing manner, we need grace. You remind us that we need grace at the beginning and at the end. And may we look to you, Lord Jesus, you full of grace and truth. Be then all that we need tonight. We pray these things in your name, thanking you. Thanking you for your word. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. Here you will find information about our church, our statement of faith, upcoming events, and much more. Here also you will find our sermons page with most of our Lord's Day sermons dating back over 7 years, as well as a radio section containing all of the WDER programs. All of these are available for download where a free CD may be requested. We'd like to hear from you if you've been blessed by our program. Give us a call or drop us an email simply to let us know you're listening. Our contact info can be found on our website. We are always encouraged to hear from our listeners, or better yet, come and join us for our worship service. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. At both services, we sing praises to our God and hear the Word of God proclaimed. For we believe that the Word of God renews the Christian's mind, enabling us to grow in love and service to the Lord and to one another. We also believe that the first day of the week, the day our Savior rose again from the dead, is the Lord's Day, a day to seek the Lord and find our pleasure in Him. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It's at the corner of Daniel Webster Highway and Route 3, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen.